Many mental health professionals and the Schizophrenia Society of Canada are concerned about the imminent arrival of cannabis edibles, extracts, and topicals to the Canadian market. They've started an online project, Cannabis and Psychosis, Explore the Link, in an effort to raise awareness of the potential risks of mental illness related to cannabis use. Dr. Candace Crocker is assistant professor with the Department of Psychiatry at Dalhousie University. She joins me live by phone. Good morning, Dr. Crocker.
Good morning.
What do we know about the link between cannabis use and psychosis?
Well, I think the best way to express it for people is to say that cannabis use is a modifiable risk factor for developing psychosis in young people, in the same way we think about smoking as being a modifiable risk factor for developing heart disease in people, something we're more used to hearing.
Why young people? For young, we're saying up to the age of 25. Why is that a distinct group?
It has to do with what's called the cannabinoid receptor in your brain. So what the cannabis molecules, if you want to put it that way, the chemicals inside cannabis, what they actually bind to in your brain, the system's actually in the brain in young people to help it develop and form the correct connections. So if you think about a system that's moving along with only a certain amount of these chemicals, the ones you're making in your own body, and then suddenly you throw a whole bunch of extra chemicals in, it confuses the signals and the brain doesn't develop properly. And that's why we think it's so detrimental. And we know from imaging studies that the brain continues to develop up to age 25 in some people.
Why the focus on the edibles? We know that in other jurisdictions that have legalized recreational marijuana, edibles become a huge part of the market. People are walking away from smoking like it was traditionally done for the most part with marijuana. So why the focus on edibles? What makes them so different?
So edibles are interesting. It's true. In Colorado, in Colorado, for instance, edibles are a much greater proportion of the market than inhaled products. Edibles have a slower duration of onset. So this means that you take a dose, and instead of the almost instant high you get from inhaled products, it's 20 to 40 minutes before people start feeling high. So they'll take a dose of an edible, and then they'll take another dose of an edible, and then they'll take another, and then they can land up in the emergency room. So we also know in Colorado that edibles make up a greater proportion of the emergency room visits than are represented even by the number of people using them.
With all of the anti-smoking campaigns and now these warnings associated with the cannabis extracts and edibles, it seems like we're sending out a pretty distinct mixed message.
I don't know that it's a distinct mixed message, at least from us. We've always been very clear that the consumption in any form, especially for people under 21, is really not good for the brain. And we have no idea what the lower threshold is. So when I speak to youth in high schools and in colleges, I always say, you know, look, you have no idea what your genetic background is, obviously. Often you'll only know by trying it out. And in this case, if you develop a psychotic disorder, that's lifelong. Do you really want to take that risk over waiting a couple of years to try the product?
You referenced the state of Colorado and the sizable market that is the edibles and the extracts and topicals. Have they seen what you're warning of, the increased risk and development of psychosis?
Colorado has very specific rules about what they're allowed to report in their research. They were limited in what they could examine as part of the legalization laws. We do know, however, that in London, England, where they have a lot of high THC cannabis, we know that the rate, what's called the incidence of schizophrenia, has roughly tripled. So the increase in use can affect the rate of psychotic disorders, yes.
What are the numbers of youth using here in the country?
Youth using are, in the past year, it's around 18%, I think, was the most recent numbers. 15, 18, it's been fairly stable over the past few years. The reason I'm feeling a little confused the first thing in the morning is we just had a new survey come out that compared the first 3 months of 2018, which is before legalization, to the first 3 months of 2019. and they see that use in first-time users has doubled between those 2 years, and that's primarily driven by kids age 14 to 18 and people over 50.
And we know the federal Liberals are obviously bullish on this. It was a key campaign promise last time around. And then, of course, you get big business involved in the new expanding cannabis market. How would you like to see government to utilize the information you're providing?
Well, some of the information comes from the government. That's the part that I've always found kind of ironic. I really wish we had gone with, and of course, it's hindsight, I guess, we'd gone with decriminalization like the Netherlands does. Has, as opposed to legalizing it, which makes it big business. So, but we're here now, and so big business, I'd like to see them have a few more regulations. I'm not sure what you're experiencing in Newfoundland, but certainly here in Nova Scotia, we've had a lot of problems with shops selling things other than just cannabis, and finding cannabis that's adulterated with other things. So it's dangerous that way. But to be fair to people, the average mentally healthy user who uses occasionally is probably no worse off than having a couple of drinks. So I'm really focused my message here on youth and brain development and caution. And if you have any concerns about your mental health or anybody else, any of your close family members' mental health, that you probably should think twice about using cannabis.
We appreciate your time and your expertise this morning, Dr. Crocker. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's Dr. Candace Crocker, assistant professor with the Department of Psychiatry at Dalhousie University.